Iowa everywhere.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This is Iowa Everywhere. And now, it's time for Two Guys Named Chris. Powered by Fairway Meat and Grocery. This is Iowa Everywhere. For the fans.
What's up? It is Monday, the 30th of January. Welcome to Two Guys Named Chris. My name's Chris Williams, joined as always by Chris Hassel. I just had maybe the most embarrassing thing ever happen to me.
Really? Did it involve your snot-nosed kids?
Loosely. So I'm dropping
meat?
Loosely, I did.
Oh, it did.
So it happened in the parking lot of daycare. So I just dropped off the three-year-old, and I'm running. This is every Monday and Thursday. I'm sprinting because I don't want to be late for the show because I dropped the girls off. I have to get them ready, all that stuff. The parents watching and listening know what I'm talking about. It's like you feel like you've run a marathon by the time 9 o'clock hits. But anyways, so I'm running out there because it's freezing out there today. Two, I don't want to be late, so I'm literally like jogging to my vehicle. I have my wife's vehicle today, so I didn't have the big Cyclone Fanatic truck. And I opened the door, and it was the wrong car. And I scared the hell out of this guy.
Wait, there was somebody in the car?
Yes. There was this guy, and he's sitting there like texting somebody or something. And he's like, and then I responded that I'm like,
what? So you opened the driver's door and there was a driver in it.
Yes.
Who thought you were about ready to,
to kill him,
mug him and rob him and carjack him. Get out of the car. Get out of the car.
So
what did you do? You scream?
I kind of yelped. And then I slammed the door because I didn't know what to do.
Because you, like, your brain might have been thinking at that time, geez, is someone in my car?
Correct. So I did what any... and this is what made it worse, then I opened the car again.
What?
Because I wanted to tell the guy I'm sorry that I had just done this. And then he's like, well, what are you opening it for a second time for? And I was like, your car looks just like mine. I'm in a hurry. I apologize. And he was cool about it. I just...
Oh, my God.
Happy Monday.
That I had an embarrassing thing happen to me over the weekend as well. We were having our meal before the game at Dayton for our CBS Sports Network. And the crew kind of all eats together. They've got like a meal specifically for the CBS crew. And I'm sitting there. I came in a little later, and my producer and there was another guy who was working in the truck. They had already finished eating at this really small table. There's four chairs at the table, but it's really small. So they're done eating. I come in, and I have to sit, because they're across from each other. I have to sit in one of the seats that's kind of between them. And the plates are big, and the table's not. So I set my plate of chicken, like, on the edge kind of, and I'm eating it.
Oh yeah.
Trying to give them space, you know? And thankfully it was toward the end, but I've got chicken and rice and I've got like one more bite to go and I'm trying to cut the chicken up and the plate goes over the edge.
Oh no.
Rice flies up into the air. The plate crashes to the ground, shatters in 100 pieces. The chicken, slaps the inside of my thigh, stains my pants, my dress pants, and there are rice crumbs just everywhere among the shattered glass, and everybody's looking, and I'm just, oh my God. I know that's going to be a story.
Feeling.
These guys, these truck guys are going to, yeah, we had the talent come in one day, and that some bitch was, yeah, I don't know, his glass shattered all over the floor. He stained his pants.
That's a horrible feeling. Just when, even when you, like, if you accidentally, like, spill a drink or in a setting like that,
uh-huh.
And everybody
looks
at you.
It was in, like, the Dayton... the area where I think all the big donors are. It's like a, one of those really cool.
Oh, I know exactly areas. Where you're talking about. We had the NC, it was the place like above the stadium,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yep. Yeah.
That's why they had the first four there. They have cool facilities like that.
And yeah, I called the game with BJ Taylor. It was awesome. After the incident, of course. But then the poor workers had to come over and there was. So a guy comes over, it's carpet, okay? It's carpet. There's shattered plate and all these little pieces of rice. And all the guy had was a broom.
Oh, no.
So he was trying to sweep the rice off of the carpet. And, of course, it's not working. So I go and I try to pick up the pieces of the... of the chicken to help him with the bigger pieces.
Being a good guy.
And he's
you're
like,
not just
oh,
the
no,
talent.
No, that... I've got it. I was like, oh, no, I'm so sorry. And they're like, no, I've got it. No. I felt terrible. And then I left him to clean it all up.
Well, it's his job. It's literally what the man is being paid for. You know, you didn't mean to do it. It's not like you're like, hey, I'm going to spill my food just to make that guy earn his paycheck. Right, I always have to explain this to my wife. Like she's just like that. Like, and I'm like, well, it's literally what that person's being paid for. It's okay.
Like, yeah, I mean, I'm guessing
we don't have to be rude about it. We can be
the majority
kind.
Of what he was being paid for. Usually, he comes in and they're like clean, like he's a bus boy cleaning off the table or whatever.
Yeah.
Not
that is
trying
a,
to sweep rice up off carpet.
That's a really cool arena. The
it's
city
awesome.
Of Dayton's awful. Like I had to spend a week there once and it was pretty bad. It literally the nights consisted of Dave Zavolinsky prank calling Marty Terrell's Sirius XM radio show. Matt, you were with me in Dayton, right? Weren't you a part of that?
Oh yeah.
That's what I thought.
I thought you were there too, Hassel. Was that when maybe that was Admire taking over for you?
Yeah, Admire was Michael Admire. You had just left for ESPN, but yeah, we were in Dayton for like a week, and that arena's awesome. It's got this old school vibe, but it has cool like modern amenities.
When's the last time
like
you were there?
13 would have been the Yanks
freshman
year.
They did a complete renovation remodel since then that they just finished in 2019. It is outside of Fog Allen Fieldhouse. It's the best arena I've ever been in. It is incredible. They have about 13,500 seats and they sell out every game. They had just lost two straight games and they're playing Richmond. It's not really, I mean, it's not a rivalry or anything. And they were favored by 9 or 10 and still that place was rock. It was packed all the way up to the top. The hotel that we were at, I mean, all kinds of Dayton fans coming in from all over the country. Scottsdale.
They love their basketball.
Chicago. Oh, yeah. And during the broadcast, I was kind of explaining that. And I said, look, this is all about basketball for these fans. They don't have a Division I FBS football program. And I get a direct message instantly from this guy who was just pissed. He's like, they've got a program, they're FCS. I said, yeah, but I said they don't have an FBS program. And Dayton's program, like they're in the same conference as Drake. You know how it is at Drake,
yeah.
Drake football. It's Division I, but come on, it's not. People don't go to those. a lot more people go to the basketball games than the football games, and that's saying something, because usually you have a lot more at football games, no matter the school.
And that's why they take the first four there, because they know people will go.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're just basketball fans.
They love it. I mean, it's like a whole weekend for them. I mean, if it's a Saturday game, you fly in on a Friday, you stay Friday and Saturday, and you just these guys party.
And when we were there, Williams, Ohio State was playing in that region, so it was even crazier. I mean, that was
the Aaron Kraft game that Iowa State played in.
Oh, was it? Okay. Yep. Wow.
And Maddie, the first round for Iowa State that year was against Notre Dame.
Yep.
So they had a ton of fans.
Yeah, like that's right.
You had all three of those fan bases kind of – it was fun.
I was back in Dayton when I was at WHO Hassle. Sears and I went out to cover Iowa when they played Tennessee in that the first four.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yes.
a quick trip.
Yeah. I remember watching that from San Antonio at the Riverwalk, watching Iowa play in that game. Oh, good stuff. All right. I do want to thank our sponsor, Fairway. Our friends at Fairway Meat and Grocery supplied they didn't supply it. I bought it, but I bought a pork butt.
You had pork sphincter?
No, it's the shoulder. We've explained this. The shoulder is the sphincter, and the butt is the shoulder.
Well, they mix the sphincter up in there. They grind it up.
I smoked, and I invited Van Winkle over. Because he's a big 49ers fan, and we're going to do a little party.
Oh, God.
And I made pork carnitas on the Traeger, which ended up being really, really good. It took me about 10 hours to make these sumbucks, but they were very, very tasty. So I thank our friends at Fairway Meat and Grocery. There you go. Van Winkle snapped this photo. If you're watching on the stream, you can see me as I'm shredding my pork butt, just shredding that rear, getting it all ready.
It smelled fantastic, too. Just a great smell.
It turned out really good. So thanks to Fairway Meat and Grocery. Appreciate them. Williams, let's start like a serial killer
in that picture.
Yeah.
He looks like Jeffrey Dahmer cutting up his victims and eating them.
Is that what he did?
Yeah, he would eat their heart.
I don't know enough about Dahmer.
Oh, you got to watch the...
I'm not watching it.
You got to watch the Dahmer series on Netflix.
I don't want to watch it.
It's amazing. It's so good.
I have a ton of friends from Wisconsin, and they're Milwaukee guys.
Yeah.
Southside Miguelito, if he's listening, shout out to you. Miguelito from the South Side. Anyways, since that Netflix thing came out, because this all, like the Dahmer stuff all happened when they were like kids, and it's crazy how that resonates with them, like in a different way than it does the rest of the country. Cause it was like very real. They were like terrified.
I bet
when they were kids and stuff. Cause when we were out in Portland, me and Miguelito from the South Side, we were at a bar and talking to these guys, and they asked like, where are you guys from? These are just Oregon guys. And he goes, Milwaukee. And the guy had just got done watching the Dahmer thing. And just starts peppering my buddy with questions about Jeffrey Dahmer. It's like, oh, this is what we're known for now, thanks to Netflix. But anyways, that game sucked, and I'm heartbroken for Brock Purdy. This could go a couple of different ways from here. We'll talk about the game, but my read on the situation is that this is probably a significant injury. We will see what the MRI says today as far as if it's a complete reconstruction, as far as Tommy John surgery and all that stuff goes.
You don't really hear about quarterbacks having...
Well, it's pretty rare to get
always baseball.
Yeah.
Pitchers.
But that's the read right now. So let's talk through this as far as Brock Purdy's future goes, Chris, because it could go a couple of different ways. One, you know, it's still pretty easy for people to say, well, you know, you didn't play anybody and you're a product of the system and all that stuff we've been hearing about Purdy. Maybe it could go away too, where his value maintains because he's not out on the field to lose it. All I know is if he takes that team to the Super Bowl yesterday, and I thought the 49ers defense played pretty darn good considering the circumstances, he's set for life.
I know.
And he didn't get that opportunity.
It's terrible. I will say I didn't think they were going to win the game, and I don't think they would have won the game anyway. But they would have had a chance. It would have been a totally different game, and it's the injury that's going to really, if it is as significant as we worry that it is. If it was just, you know, a 3 or 4 month thing, I think he had a really good chance to be the starter going into next season for what he did. But if he can't play at the start of next season, they have to go in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whether it's giving Trey Lance another shot, or I doubt it'll be Garoppolo. I think he's probably gone. But you got the whole, maybe it's Tom Brady. And maybe that wouldn't be a terrible thing if it is Tom Brady. And if it is this horrible recovery for Brock Purdy, Tom Brady comes in for a year or whatever.
It's perfect in that scenario.
Yeah. That would be better for Brock Purdy, I think, than, you know, if you have to go out and give Trey Lance another chance and he comes through and he's good enough for them and leads them to glory. It's sickening because he was this close, and it's unfortunate and it's unfair, really, for what he did. And I don't know exactly what he's making, but the amount of money that he would have gotten had he gotten this team to the Super Bowl compared to what he's making now, it's not even.
I think it's like a $900,000, but he had some incentives for playoff wins, so a little over $1 million probably. And the thing, too, is like with Lance, he's coming back from a pretty significant injury, too. You know, they don't really have a clear number one going into the offseason. And I think personally, I'd like to see them keep both. I think the value on those guys right now is high. You know, Chris and I, you and I were talking yesterday about, you know, it'd be a perfect opportunity to bring in a guy like Brady. But, man, you'd have to pay him the bank, you know, you'd have to get rid of so much stuff. And I don't know if it would be worth it in the long run, but we'll see what the injury says for Brock.
If he's just not able to go at the start of next season, what do you do? I mean, I think you go in and you hope that Trey Lance can become what you thought he was and see if he can stay healthy, give him one last chance to come through.
I mean, I think that's the route. It's just, did Brock show enough? And you can kind of take yourself out of it a little bit more than I can, Chris, because I admittedly am very biased towards Brock here. Did he do enough going 7-0 like that? If you talk to Sage Rosenfels, he absolutely did. Like Sage said to me last week, he's like, there's like 20 to 30 guys in the history of the NFL that have ever won 7 games in a row playing quarterback in the National Football League. That was Sage's quote, not mine. I haven't fact-checked it. His point is, he thinks Brock's like a 10-year starter in the league. Now,
Paul Burmeister says the same thing. Paul Burmeister used to play. He was a quarterback at Iowa in the early 90s, and now he works for NBC, and he does Notre Dame play-by-play. He wrote an article, I think, for NBC that was kind of the same thing, that he thinks that Purdy has shown enough.
Maybe the most impressive thing, too, is this his ability to understand a playbook so quickly. I mean, he came in as a rookie and was able to understand a pretty in-depth, you know, offensive system in Shanahan. Like, was able to teach a guy like Christian McCaffrey when he came in, when he got traded there. That's impressive, you know.
So, yeah, has Brock done enough to be given that security? Let's just say, worst case scenario, he's out for a full calendar year. Okay, now hopefully it would be about 9 months is what I'm, if it's a full reconstruction, so that would get him back, but they miss all of training camp, whatever.
If it's 9 months, that's October. That's late October,
which would be basically missing the season. Like, could this be a deal where what you don't know about a guy actually helps him too? Like, could the 7-0, I'm just thinking through scenarios here, would that be a deal where he would have trade value? Or let's say that Trey Lance turns into the guy the 49ers want him to be. Would Brock be one of those sexy free agent signings in a couple of years because of the 7-0 stretch, or could he just get buried and never get
the problem
a chance
is
to be a starter
that 7-0 would have come on the other side of the horrible injury.
Yeah,
I think you're gonna need to see what he can do post injury, because that could change things as well.
What about the deal, though? Is it possible that he's, because you read about these pitchers that come back throwing harder after it? You know, you kind of hope for that. I talked to an orthopedic surgeon last night who knows all about this stuff, and he, knowing what he knew about Brock stuff, and this guy knew quite a bit, he didn't think this would be a career-ending type of thing. So that's a positive. But we'll see. I mean, it all has to do with what the MRI says.
My God, I mean, if that's the bar, that's career. I mean, when's the last time you heard of a career-ending arm injury?
Yeah, he was saying he didn't think it was that type of a deal.
The fact that he was able to come back into the game tells you that he could at least grip the ball, throw it 5 to 10 yards, but it's getting that strength
once,
twice, yeah.
The other thing, too, take Brock out of it. It just sucked because those games are usually, they're so awesome. Look what
that
we saw in the AFC.
That was one of the worst games I've ever seen.
It was horrible.
Honestly. I mean, the thing was over in a heartbeat.
So Van Winkle,
the whole thing was miserable because of the, you know, they didn't challenge on the drop pass that should have wiped away that first touchdown.
Van Winkle, you didn't even seem like mad. Like you had completely cashed out of that game in the second quarter.
Yeah, I was telling Hassel this before you hopped on. It's like, man, we were just playing. God, we were just feeling so good coming in with Mr. Irrelevant as our quarterback. You know, the season had been basically thrown away twice. You know, with Trey Lance gone, it's like, well, I guess we'll go back to Jimmy G. Then he leads you on some wins. He gets hurt. Purdy takes over. It's like we were just riding high, but knowing that it was all kind of like this mystique. Like, when will this end? When will this magic end? So, man, it was just the way it ended, though. I feel so sick for those guys because they rallied around Mr. Irrelevant and was able to take it all the way to the NFC Championship game. And it's,
can I give you a tip?
It was more numbing, I guess. I wasn't angry, you know what I mean? Because we weren't expected to go that far with, you know, Mr. Irrelevant. So,
can I give you just a social tip?
Yes.
When a Vikings fan is hosting you,
mm-hmm,
you know, just rolls out the red carpet. Mm-hmm. I've been up smoking meat since like 7 o'clock in the morning. Van Winkles are coming over. You don't make the comment, quote, well, at least Super Bowl Sunday isn't going to be stressful now since the Niners aren't playing in it.
You know, I thought about
Chris,
this. I thought about
never
this
had
a little
a stressful
bit.
Super Bowl Sunday.
Aren't you the guy that says the Vikings will never win a Super Bowl while I'm alive?
Yes. They'll never even play in one.
Okay.
They won't even.
But what's
get there.
Worse, it not getting there, or someone in the next generation, like your dad's generation, seeing them go 3-4 times, whatever it was, and lose every one of them?
Thanks. Appreciate you throwing that in there.
Old Franny Tarkenton.
I always joked that the Vikings, if I could get sick and die next year, or I could die when I'm 90, the Vikings will win the Super Bowl the year after. Okay, so the other game was a blast, and I just absolutely love watching
AFC
Joe Burrow.
AFC always comes through.
Man, Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes, it wasn't necessarily all about the quarterbacks. I'm not trying to make that, but it certainly seemed that way at the end. I thought, Hassel, that the Chiefs just didn't put him away early, and that was going to come back to haunt him. Clearly, the offensive line was an issue for Cincinnati. Chiefs kept settling for field goals early in that one. You knew that Zach Taylor would get it figured out as far as the play calling goes and whatnot. But I just blown away by both the quarterbacks in that game. And I'll put it this way, the semi-controversial flag at the end that got everybody amped up. Do you think that was the right call on 58 for Cincinnati?
It was the right call. It's unfortunate that you have to make that call in that situation, because that was the difference in this game going to overtime. Without those 15 yards, now they could have run another play. There were 8 seconds left, so they would have been 15 yards farther back. They could have run a play to the sideline to pick up, you know, 10 more, and then kick it from there. But just that penalty, as soon as it happened, that was it. That kick was going in. It's too bad it came down to that, but I think it was the right call, don't you?
Yeah, I don't think that he was malicious about it. I think that he was chasing down the quarterback. I think momentum got the best of him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand this outcry that shouldn't have been a flag. He hit him like 3 yards out of bounds.
Right. And 10 times out of 10, that happens any other moment in a game, and it's a no-brainer. There's people
saying, he's a quarterback.
You don't throw a flag in that situation. You had to. It was so blatant. You had to throw it. And I feel bad for the kid. Played a really good game, and he was sobbing on the sideline. I hope he can get over this. But I feel like the Super Bowl would be a lot more interesting had the Bengals won. I don't think the Chiefs are better than the Bengals. And I think the Eagles are a lot better than the Chiefs. Mahomes is gimpy, and he's still great. But I think it would have been a better matchup had the Bengals come out and won that game. And I agree, I was stunned when the line opened for the Super Bowl right after the game, and the Chiefs were actually favored by 1 or 2, like right off the bat at the books that would post it right away. And then a few minutes later, most of the books came out and they posted it as a pick 'em. And then within like 20 minutes, it moved to Philly -2.5, which is, I think, where it should be.
I absolutely think Philly should be the favorite in this game. So our friend Jeffrey Benson from Circa, he's the kind of the head of the sports book there. He put out a tweet last night. It was at 9:52. And he said, we opened Kansas City at -2.5 with a total of 51. The market disagreed and said our opener was garbage. So, yeah, it's 7:08. Kansas City was a 2.5-point favorite. At 7:29, they were a 2.5-point underdog.
Yeah. It's rare you see that. But I'm really surprised that they had the Chiefs as the favorite.
Me too, and we all said going into this week that we thought the two best rosters were in the NFC.
Yeah, with the Eagles and the 49ers. And yeah, I thought that whoever ended up winning that game, I feel like you could make the argument that the Bengals could be a pick 'em against the Eagles, but I don't know. The Eagles, God, they look good. But at the same time, there's that unknown. Like, who did they face? Look at the quarterbacks that they faced, you know, in this run. They haven't really had to face anybody like a Patrick Mahomes.
I think it's a good Super Bowl. I'm glad the Chiefs won because of the localness. It makes it more interesting, specifically here in the Midwest. You're looking at it more from a national scale.
Yeah, I saw last night people were like salivating. Oh my God, the storylines are incredible. It's the Kelce Bowl with the brothers playing each other and the Andy Reid Bowl playing his. Like, that doesn't do anything for me. I don't care about that. I don't care about the Kelces playing against each other. I mean, Andy Reid was there, but that was 15 years ago. I mean, both of these teams have been there and done that since. Yes, Purdy would have been the ultimate storyline. And I think Joe Burrow would have been a better storyline than Patrick Mahomes.
I will say that it feels like, and it had already kind of established, but especially after that game, the way the Chiefs were talking about Burrowhead, boy, we've got a pretty hot rivalry right now in the AFC that I don't see going away anytime soon.
Yeah, it was Kelce came in and Burrowhead my ass.
Man. Those two teams do not like each other. It was very, very evident.
The Cincy mayor did not do his team any favors by what he said leading up to that. It kind of changed the feel of that game where the Chiefs all of a sudden, as the team that has hosted 5 straight and has won the Super Bowl recently, they felt like they were the underdogs. And I feel like it kind of screwed that thing up.
Shout out, we said Jeffrey Benson's name to our friends at Circa Sports Iowa. They, I saw a bunch of people betting wrestling, Penn State, Iowa. Was it Penn State, Iowa on Friday? Whatever, but...
yeah, Iowa played at Penn State.
Yeah. And you want to bet wrestling? There's one spot to do it. Circa Sports Iowa, and they actually take care of their local clients like we are, and we appreciate that. Let's go to basketball, and we'll start with Iowa, who... Iowa owns Rutgers, let's be honest.
What's up with that?
They just own the Scarlet Knight, Hassel. Patrick McCaffrey is back. Iowa bounces back into the win column.
I don't know what it is. Rutgers has one of the best defensive teams in the country. And Iowa, second straight time, they just... Rutgers can't stop them. I mean, Iowa was raining threes that whole game. It was great to see Patrick back out there. I'm glad he's feeling well enough that he can go out there and play. And he played well, making a handful of threes. That was a good win. Those are two good wins against Rutgers this season. And, God, we're looking at some of the photos, this was supposed to be a whiteout at Carver. They didn't quite do it as well as they did at Hilton earlier this year, huh?
That's supposed to be a whiteout?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that they were doing that yesterday.
Yeah, they came on the air. Dave Revson was calling the game. He was like, "And we got a whiteout here at Carver Hawkeye Arena."
Could we talk about the... I feel like I bitch about this every week. The Sunday afternoon tip is just the absolute worst. Like, and I'll defend Iowa fans. Like, why do you have... I understand why you have the game a 1 o'clock tip, because the Big Ten told you that's when you're going to play. Curious choice to do the color scheme on that day. Like, am I overshooting like the NFL playoffs? Am I?
Well, yeah, because if you go to that game, you're missing, I mean, at least the first half of the first game, which the game was over, 49ers Eagles. But yeah, I mean, if you're interested in the, you know, the whole Purdy thing, or if you're just an NFL fan, yeah, you got to make that decision. NFL playoffs or going to Carver to get a Carver cone. I hate the Sunday tips.
I'm not even an Iowa fan, but I have to watch the games. I hate it.
I do like the earlier tips. Like I think the worst are when, and it seems like Iowa's always on the road when they play these game tips at like 5:30 on a Sunday evening. Like, come on, and I know it's for TV, but It does suck. I mean, I'm not that interested in college basketball on a Sunday. College basketball is about Saturday. Give me the game on a Saturday. Fans will go.
I absolutely hate it. I hate it for Iowa. It sucks, too, to just in general for an Iowa fan. So, regardless, don't want to take away. That was a really nice win, bouncing back
from
two losses in a row.
Yeah, the team... Yeah, it was a really good win. They're a different team at home. Many teams are. But now you got two more home games coming up. And, I mean, Northwestern's got a good record. I haven't seen them. It still feels like that's a win. Northwestern
they're
coming
favorite.
Up,
I mean, so. Iowa will be a 5-point favorite in that game.
Yeah. And then, of course, Illinois, very talented. So we'll see on that. But Iowa did what they needed to do. You got Patrick McCaffrey back. You're feeling a lot better.
Iowa State did not. And there's some depth here as Caleb Grill was out. And I actually, you know, it's just interesting how fans work. Because my Twitter feed on Tuesday night, when Grill could barely walk to the bench, was, "Keep him out. We don't need to play him against Missouri."
Yeah.
And then you don't. And... I don't think that they would have won that game with Caleb Grill. It just seemed like they were off. It just seemed different. Get to Caleb's injury here, as they've got a quick turnaround. So my theory, Chris, is that if they played on Wednesday this week, that maybe you see Caleb against Missouri, because there's some time for recovery. But they play tonight, is Iowa has a quick turnaround too, by the way, because Iowa gets a Tuesday game against Northwestern this week. It's that makeup game. But Iowa State, Texas Tech tonight, it is basically a pick 'em type of game, and this is what I've tried, you know, to just be responsible talking to Iowa State fans this year, is Texas Tech's in last place in the Big 12. Iowa State's tied for first, and this is a pick 'em game.
Well, they Texas Tech just went to LSU and smoked.
Yeah, they're not that bad for being. I get it that they're the last place team in the Big 12, but there's two things here. Iowa State's not that good. Texas Tech isn't that bad. So, like, if you and I'm not taking anything away from Iowa State. It's just you're not an extremely talented team. So all these things have to go well to play the style of ball that they're trying to play. Grill being not out there is a huge, huge loss. We've seen three halves of basketball now when he's not out there, and their perimeter defense is a massive train wreck compared to when he is there. So this is a really challenging game tonight. I'm assuming Caleb will play, and that's why they kept him out on Saturday, but I don't know that, Chris. And this is but you do feel like with Tech tonight and Kansas at home on Monday, if Iowa State can go 2-0 this week, they are in the driver's seat to win the Big 12 somehow.
Yeah, because you already have the head-to-head wins against Kansas State and Texas as well. I know you still have to go and play at both those teams, back-to-back games later in the season. I'm a little concerned because that's back-to-back games where they've given up a lot of points. They gave up 76 to Kansas State. I know they won, but then 78 to Missouri. I didn't think they had this in them. I thought the Iowa game was an anomaly, but maybe it wasn't. I mean, they've shown that. I know they didn't have Grill, and he's a good defender, really good defender, and it's a big loss. But let's be honest, the last few games, I mean, he's hobbling around out there. I don't know how much he helped the last couple. I mean, he helped, but only what, 3 points in the Kansas State game. Crouched over on defense, didn't get to play a ton because of the back injury. I thought that their defense would still be good enough to keep them in that game, and they just weren't. I know Missouri was hitting shots, but they weren't miraculous shots.
No, they were wide open, those threes. Like, it wasn't. And Missouri's a top 10 offense, too. And if you play bad defense against a team like that, they're going to smoke you. And yeah, Iowa State played really bad defense.
It's a big game. A really big game here because you get this, you get to 7-2, you stay atop the Big 12 with Kansas at home, and then hopefully Grill's feeling a little bit better, hopefully. But you lose this, all of a sudden you're playing from behind again in the standings. And I know it's all relative. You know, this is. We're talking about a run for a Big 12 championship here. So, you know, I'm setting the bar high, but this is a really big game tonight. Why, this is weird. You know, you play these ESPN Plus games against Kansas and the top 15 games, and all of a sudden you get Texas Tech 0-8 in conference, and it's a big Monday game?
Well, it's on weird. ESPN 2. The Texas-Baylor game is the big Monday game. So
right. Well, yeah, sure. But this is still big Monday. It's on ESPN 2.
Yeah.
Or do you only consider it Big Monday if it's on ESPN regular?
I consider the 8 o'clock ESPN Big Monday, the 6 and 8 games. I don't consider this Big Monday. I don't consider this
Big Monday.
Crazy enough, too. So Tech is 0-8 in the Big 12. This would be considered a quad one win tonight if Iowa State would win.
Amazing.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
This is crazy to me, but... Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like they're going to lose tonight. I hope I'm wrong.
Jeez.
I don't think there's that big of a difference between the top and the bottom. And it really, I wish I just knew about Caleb, because I think that that's kind of the, if they had him at 80%, here's the problem. They don't really have a guy to put in there that does what he does. And this is like, everybody's like, well, depth, like next man in. Well, Caleb plays 40 minutes a game. Right, and like I'd really feel a lot better if Jazz Kuntz was back because he could kind of fill in on that.
Back?
They were shooting for the Kansas game, so I don't know if that's still on schedule, but when he originally went down, they were shooting for the Kansas game. Okay. Here's the thing, though. Tech has some guys that are probably going to be out tonight, so they're not exactly healthy either. So we'll see. This is always a really complex spot when you get into, and it's a great position to be in when you've overshot your expectations so much that now, like, we're sitting here and we're like, well, how do they win the Big 12? Well, the Big 12 is the best conference in college basketball. If we would have thought that we'd be having this conversation a month and a half ago, you'd be like, oh, we'll take it. After that Iowa game and we're sitting in Vegas, you would have told me that this team was going to be 6-2 right now. But yeah, this feels like a bad spot to me. But again, Tech's banged up a little bit. They were banged up and they blew out and they beat up LSU. So I really have no idea. I'm really interested.
But you also
Baylor,
thought
Texas.
That Missouri was a bad spot too. You kind of saw that coming.
Yeah, absolutely did.
I just didn't see them losing by 17 and not being a factor in that game.
No, neither did I. Because Iowa State, the way they play defense, is supposed to keep those types of things from happening.
Defense is supposed to travel.
Yeah.
It did not.
Did you like the decision, though? We're assuming we know about Grill's deal. Do you like the decision to hold him out of that game to try and get him as healthy as possible for Big 12 play?
Yes. Because that game, I mean, the game against Missouri, honestly, that's really going to have no bearing on your NCAA tournament seeding.
Well, you actually lucked out, too, because this year Missouri's good. So it made it a quad one. Then you really don't move. They dropped one in the net from it.
Yeah, it has no bearing. I think right now it's all about trying to win a Big 12 championship and, you know, winning as many conference games as possible. I actually, you know, that the Iowa-Missouri game, Iowa State-Missouri game, you know, I was like, it's kind of like, oh, God, you step out of conference play and it's against Missouri. Don't really like it. But when I sat down on Saturday night and started watching some of these Big 12 SEC matchups, I liked it. Like Tennessee, Texas.
It was fun.
Kansas, Kentucky. It was still fun. It surprised me. I didn't think I would like it. And I feel like that's kind of the way I go into it every year. I don't like the Iowa State game.
Yeah.
But I like the thing as a whole.
You know what
it's
I think?
It's unfortunate that this is the last year they're going to do that.
I think it would be a lot better if they could flex these games.
And get the right matchups?
Yeah, because they set these matchups in like June.
Yeah, and it's always Kansas, Kentucky. Always.
Yeah. But like if they could do a true 1 through 10.
But Chris, what do you make of it? I mean, some of those results were crazy. Oklahoma just blowing out Alabama?
I don't take anything from it, honestly. Like
it's bizarre.
I think a lot of these teams they're trying to win. I'm not saying that these teams are Iowa State tried to win on Saturday, okay? Alabama tried to, but I also think some of them, it's a little bit of a take your foot off the gas, kind of treat it like a bye week type deal too. I truly believe that. No, I don't think Kansas and Kentucky were doing that. Like, do you know what I mean? Like this.
Yeah. Well,
it's intended to be something that it's not.
Like the Grill decision. You know, that's.
Yeah.
If that was a conference game, I don't know. Maybe he plays.
If he was playing, if they were in Manhattan on Saturday, I can almost guarantee you he would have played.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I like the aspect of it's actually fun. Like in the middle of the season, you sit down and root for every Big 12 team. That's what I did. Like it's really fun. But again, they need to do. There's got to be some more flexibility with these ESPN schedules. This is becoming a thing. But they could have had it was fun on Saturday. It could have been epic if they could have, you know, massaged who was playing who, where.
Yeah, you have Iowa State, Alabama.
Yeah. That's a great storyline. Nate Oates, TJ Otzelberger. They've known each other for 25 years. Like, there's so much cool stuff that they could have done. But, you know, they got it right with Texas, Tennessee. That was great. Kansas, Kentucky put on a good show. You know, it was fun. The other problem, too, is just you've got all these basketball schools in the Big 12 that really, really care. And then that's not always the case in the SEC. Now, I will give Missouri credit. They sold that place out. It was awesome. I thought Iowa State was going to walk into a morgue, and that place was great. It was like old school Missouri basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that
but that's
going
it, right?
away.
That's
I don't
the
like
last
the
year.
Yeah, I don't like the middle of the season thing. I used it's to odd. Like it. I don't anymore.
Ran its course for you?
Well, just when you love Big 12 basketball, it's like a soap opera, right? Every Monday night's a different episode. Every Tuesday night's a different episode, and it's constantly evolving.
Tomorrow's
everybody
episode,
plays everybody
streaming exclusively on ESPN Plus.
But everybody plays everybody, and that's a thing. And then all of a sudden, it's just boom. We're gonna go play Auburn. And it's gonna be different next year too. Like, I'm not looking forward to the new teams coming because I like the 10-team round robin. Like, I'm into that. Like, that is my favorite thing about it. It's because by the end of the year, when you get to Kansas City, all these teams hate each other. You know, as a Big Ten fan, it's not the same when you play, oh, we're going to play them once this year, play them twice. It's just not the same.
You're not looking forward to the trip down to Orlando to face UCF?
No. No, I'm not.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be good. Houston, BYU, Cincinnati, all good basketball schools. But you're
it'll
right.
It'll be fine,
but
it's not
what
the
I
round
love
robin.
About the Big 12 is the round robin.
Yeah.
You play everybody. Other conferences don't get that. You don't get that in the Big 10. I haven't seen that in the Big 10 since, God, I don't know.
God, we were kids. Yeah. Since the pre-Penn State era, right?
Yeah, and now we're talking about, the game against Rutgers and Jesus.
I mean, that's going to be us now. It's like, oh, we got BYU. That's who Iowa State gets as its rival next year.
That's the rivalry? BYU.
Yeah. That's the one guaranteed protected series for Iowa State is BYU. Like, come
on. It's Mormons against the what?
Cornfields. I don't know.
Now, it's got to be something with an M, right?
But that
Mormons against...
It just sucks. I get it. It's evolution in college athletics, but we don't have to like it. Anyways, I think that we've covered all the local stuff. Drake got a good win. Did you see what Drake did without
Did they
DeVries?
Beat Belmont?
Yeah, they killed him.
Really?
They blew him out. It feels like they're starting to...
Well, because Keith Murphy was trying to give you a nice little tip there for a...
Yeah, and I lost.
For a bet. He said, look, DeVries isn't playing.
I bet on Belmont. Do you see our friend Michael Admire? He's like an Instagram influencer these days.
Is he?
Yeah, he took another picture of like him like posing when he's getting ready to call the game, and it looked super sexy.
Was his shirt off again?
No, he had his shirt on. I had his shirt on this time.
No, I did not see that.
Here it is. Van Winkle's pulling it up right. Look, he's got that sweater. He's just a good-looking guy.
Well, look at him. And he doesn't eat meat anymore.
See, he'd have a problem with this show because we just salivate all over the meat from Fairway.
I don't know that he drinks alcohol anymore. He might be dry.
Oh, wow. Really? So he would have
he should call BYU games. Send him to BYU. He could be the voice of the Cougs. Oh, there we go. Iowa meat sweats. Says polygamists versus plowers. That's good.
What is your schedule for the week? Because you had two games this weekend. I watched your Friday night game.
Thursday night game.
Thursday
at
night
FAU.
Game.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had
that was awesome.
Sold out houses. Maybe they sold
that looked
out
like
FAU.
A packed high
crowd.
School arena. It was
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, it is a high school arena, but they, man. That thing got loud because you put 3,000 plus in a tiny arena like that. It's fun.
Well, and they're probably
has
fired
the longest,
up.
They have
they're
the longest winning streak in the country now. Yeah, it was great. And then sold out crowd at Dayton too. It was a fun little weekend. Now neither game was great. Both home teams kind of rolled, but it was a lot of fun. This week I don't have a game. I turned down a game because I'm leaving for the Super Bowl on Sunday. So just working in studio this week and flying out on Sunday for Phoenix. I'm going to be out there a full week.
And will you stay out there for the game?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I think
will be my fifth straight Super Bowl trip. With CBS Sports HQ.
Is it fun covering the Super Bowl?
It usually
is.
Some
people love it and some people hate it. I know.
It has been fun for me the last few years. I guess the COVID year notwithstanding, because the COVID year, we were not allowed to hang out together. Like, you couldn't go out to dinner. You couldn't hang out with any of your coworkers. The only time you could be together was while you're on set. You couldn't use the workout facility at the hotel. So, man. I was like doing workouts in my hotel room. That sucked. But usually it's fun. You get to see people that you don't normally see at
work.
A lot of people live all over the country that we work with, and the analysts or writers or whatever. And that's the one time a year you get to see them.
That's how NCAA tournament generally is for me, or the Big 12 media days down in Dallas. Do you ever think about when you're doing like push-ups in your hotel room, what it would look like if you took a black light to that floor?
Well, see, I don't do it on the floor. I will lay down a bunch of towels. You know me. I'm a germaphobe, brother. I know all about this stuff. I've got ways around this.
Just think about all the people who have gone to a urinal at any public area and stepped all over that piss that's all over the floor, and then they walk.
Well, that's why I put the towels down.
Walked
There's a barrier,
into that hotel
brother.
Room.
There's a barrier. Okay. You know, I go in. I see. You know, they got the Kleenex in there, and they make it into like a flower.
Yeah.
And so I take that flower, throw it away, dig in deep
because somebody touched
clean
it.
Ones. Yeah. And then they'll put like the menu for room service on your pillow. Just a dirty ass menu on your
pillow.
Yeah, did
they sanitize that thing? I don't think so.
Hell no. No. So I chuck that pillow aside. No thanks. You know, there's that flower. Yeah, come on. Some people like that, I guess. Because I posted about that little flower that they make, and they're like, oh, that's great service. You don't get that kind of service anymore. Why do you want that?
Yeah, I don't need that.
I want the Kleenex to be functional. I don't want it to be decorative.
You know what is the grossest thing to me? And like, I can go down and do push-ups on the floor and I don't think too much about it.
You can do push-ups?
A couple. Like, I'm really sensitive with my feet and hairs. Like,
what now?
Stray hairs. Hairs just gross me out.
What do you mean stray hairs in your feet?
Like when you, have you ever gotten in a shower that's not yours and you see some like lone hair that's down there? It's disgusting. I hate stray hairs. I can't handle it. Like going to a water park, like I can't even, it's my feet. I don't even like walking in a locker room in a water park. Like it just grosses me out.
You know, hairs really gross a lot of people out. If it's just a regular hair, I'm not that grossed out by it. But you start getting the shorter hairs down there where
like
you don't know where
ones?
That hair is coming from.
Yeah.
Then it starts to freak you out a little bit.
When it gets curly and dark, that's when...
I went on a golf trip with my buddy John a couple years ago to the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail in Alabama. And I let him book the hotels and stuff. I'm never going to let that happen again. Because he was booking these Motel 6s on the side of the interstate in Montgomery, Alabama. And it's four guys. There were four guys, and he was booking like twin bed, one room Motel 6s for like $30 a night. We walk into one of them. My comforter has a cigarette burn right through the middle of it, all the way down to the bed. Go into the bathroom. The shower curtain has blood on it, and there's just pubic hairs sprinkled all over the shower. I mean, it's like someone strategically went in there and sprinkled pubes all over the whole thing, like the handle You couldn't turn on the shower without touching a pube.
What did you do? Did you stay there?
I was so disgusted. I called my wife, and she said, "Whatever you do, don't put your suitcase on the floor." I said, "Uh-oh." I already did. She said, "Ah, no, there's you probably got bed bugs in it."
Oh. So she plays right into your germaphobe anxiety then. Like, she's not helping you with this. She's amplifying it.
No. And so then I'm all worried that I'm checking. She's like telling me to check underneath the bed, lift up the bed. And I'm worried I'm going to lift up the bed and I'm going to see like a body part. And so, check the wood. See if the wood is soft and eaten into.
Why do you check the wood? Are you looking for termites?
Make sure there's... I think the bed bugs get in there and they do all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, that thing... I probably got lice, bed bugs, chlamydia, everything from that hotel room.
God. Wasn't there like a bed bugs problem in Iowa City? It was like documented. Because I remember making some jokes about this on the radio, like, "Well, that's not surprising." You know, just the real low-hanging fruit stuff for a Cyclone fan.
It might be. I know my wife said that her mom and dad on their honeymoon stayed at some hotel in Davenport that had a bed bug infestation. So I think, yeah, eastern side of the state has a bed bug problem, Chris.
Not surprising.
Ugh. And you know what I've run into with rental cars recently? Because I have to have a rental car almost every week when I'm traveling for these games and what have you. All of these rental cars have this baked-in weed smell in them now.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's unbelievable.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I mean, what is going on? You can't smoke in a car. Like, "Well, I'm not smoking tobacco. This is my pot. I need it. My doctor says I need it. Gotta have the pots
for my anxiety." Yeah.
But it's like every time I went in, because I thought when I got in the car, and it was this nice Cadillac, got in the car and I thought, "Oh my God, whoever had this car last, I mean, they were smoking dubs
all the way up until they
brought it home."
Van Winkle has some inside information on what we're smelling.
I don't know. I'm from California where marijuana is legal, and I don't do it, but don't they do the weed vape? That's probably
maybe. I don't know, but does the weed vape, does that have as strong of a smell as a doob?
I have no idea.
But this thing, I'm telling you, every single I must have smelled like it.
I bet you
when I was calling these games. Because every time I opened that car door, it just went like, whoosh. It's like the Seinfeld episode.
Some sort of like cheap cleaner that
it was pot. It smelled like you went into, you know, a trailer.
Maybe it's
the guy living in just smokes pot all day.
Maybe it's the guys, the workers.
No, man. This stuff was baked into the car. Right into the seat. And every time you open that, it was like, "Oh my God, someone must have been sitting in here 2 minutes ago smoking pot." And it's not a great smell. Like, there's a cigarette smell, that's bad. The pot smell isn't much better.
Would you rather have that or pubes all over your shower at the old motel?
What if you had to smoke a dube that was filled with pube? a pube dube. A doobie that just had pubes, all random pubes.
A doobie full of puby. On that note.
Oh, Matt Sampson says he found a syringe in an open ceiling tile at the old Super 8 in Adair off I-80. A syringe? That's like my biggest fear is like
needles.
Accidentally touching a needle.
Just touching it or having it injected into you?
No, like accidentally stepping on it or someone like taking a needle and poking me with it. Oh.
All right, we got to get out of here. This is starting to get really uncomfortable.
Have you like ever discovered a pube in your mouth?
I don't know. Like, where the hell did that come? How would that happen?
Well, you made this into the pube show, so.
The worst is the hair in your food at the restaurant.
Will you send it back?
Depends. If I think it's a pube, yes. It's just like one stray hair.
Like an arm hair? What if it's just an arm hair?
I'll swipe it away. Act like I didn't see it.
What if you drink, you got a cocktail and there is a bug in the cocktail? What do you do? Because this happened last night for my wife.
Sending it back.
There was a gnat in her
wine.
Oh,
a gnat? Oh. Yeah, I'd send it back.
I got it out with a knife. She was trying to get it with her finger. She was sticking her finger in there.
Yeah.
I took the knife, got it out.
Most servers want that, you know?
Huh?
They'd rather you send it back than drink a buggy cocktail.
Would they?
My opinion.
Why would they care?
Because they want a good tip.
All right. Well, she kept drinking it. She didn't complain. You know, we're nice Iowa folk.
Good for you. All right. Thanks for your time today, Christopher. Thank you to Matt Van Winkle as well. Appreciate all you guys listening. Love all the comments. Keep them coming. If you could give us a great rating on, well, wherever you listen to the podcast, we would appreciate that as well. And tell your friends. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at Phil Parker's paw. He just came in with a comment.
What did he say?
He says he cut his Five Guys burger in half, and when he pulled the knife, out, there was a pube attached to it. So he hasn't been to Five Guys since. That's rough, and it's called Five Guys too.
I was going to ask for some good ratings.
Yeah, give us a good rating.
I feel like we're gonna
like the
knock it out
the
of
old
the park.
Williams, you also, you're like, and don't give us one of those 1-star reviews where you say, I can't stand John Miller and his politics.
Yeah, if you're gonna give that, don't give us a rating. Just
only come 5 on. Stars. That's all we want.
Only 5 stars. That's the only thing we're interested in.
Five guys and 5 stars.
We have zero interest in your shitty ratings. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you guys. Have a great rest of your Monday.
Iowa everywhere.